Concordia Seminary is pleased to sponsor this event. Our mission is to prepare pastors for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and continuing education opportunities for pastors and leaders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And this is an excellent time for us to grow together in understanding the Metro Mission. And in this hour, you will be hearing about new approaches in Metro Mission from Reverend Roberto Rojas. Let me tell you a few things about Reverend Rojas. Chile? Anybody know where Chile is? Could you point it out on a map? Yes, he's from Chile, South America. There he went to school and earned his degree in civil engineering, and after graduation began to work in the copper mining industry. Then came the revolution. Communism entered the country, and Reverend Rojas had to go. He had to go because, obviously, he doesn't agree with the major tenets of communism, but more so because they began to play with his faith. And so he left his home country and went to Canada, Northwest Canada, where he worked on the pipeline for oil as a surveyor. And from there he went to Toronto to work in the city hall, and it was during this time in Canada that he became more and more involved in thinking about the seminary and ultimately making acquaintance with St. Catherine's, which at that time was like an extension arm of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. The issue of all of this is that he was ordained in Chicago as finishing the colloquy program in 1981, I believe is the year, and then received his first assignment and called to Lorain, Ohio, where he is pastor today. He started in Lorain from scratch 8 years ago, and now has a congregation of about 150 worshiping Hispanic people. Last year was a very joyful year, he tells me, for this community of believers and saints, because they were able to finally have their own church building. Reverend Rojas is a family man. He married a Puerto Rican girl that he met while making an evangelism call in Lorain. So for you single guys, get out there and make evangelism calls. This could reap many results for you. The fruit of this blessed union has issued in three children. So Reverend Rojas is also a family man. And finally, he is a member of the Mission Task Force of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is under the auspices of the Board for Mission Services. And their report, after some years of struggle, as well as compilation of materials, will soon be made available to the church. I am proud to present to you Reverend Roberto Rojas.
Thank you to all of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I am very happy to be with you today. It's an honor for me, and I just pray, Lord, untie my tongue to go across of this ministry, Metro Ministry, with you. And it's a great experience for me to be in this symposium, to cheer each other about the Metro Ministry ethnic group and in different regions. And I learned a lot. Sometimes I believe I am alone in the earth to do this mission. But I understand I am part of this team, the team of evangelism here in United States, which is make me really happy, because we can share together the same cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what is make me excited, 100%. everybody, we have here great presentations, great presenters, great people, and really professors, which is an honor for me to be close to them. And in the first time, almost 5 months ago, 3-4 months ago, Professor Kapiski called me in the telephone and said, could you want to be in that symposium? And I said, really, maybe he's dialed a wrong number, no, and a wrong person. And it's my pleasure to be here, but really, my experience is not really big in comparison with the people you have here in this presentation. But in the name of our Lord, I try to do the best I can. I have several books here I want to show you, but first I would like to share with you my experience in missions. This is what I am here. Let's start in the basic again, when in Great Commission, in the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, is talked to us, in the four Gospels tell, and even pushing us to go outside, because the time is short. Go outside and reach these people, never mind what kind of people are, but let's go. And let's go back to the basic and the Gospel and the Great Commission. Jesus commanded all people to go, all nations, baptize them, and teach them, and make them disciples in the Word of God. Let's see now a model. The best model of everything is Jesus Christ. And we have to follow Him. We have to go close to Him. And the first thought is just imitate where His ministry is started. The ministry is start what Jesus started His mission in Galilee. So Matthew 4, verse 16. Let me read for you. The Galilee land of the Gentile, the people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the darkness land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach in this message, turning away from your sin, because the kingdom of heaven is near. And that is powerful. Turn it away from your sin. When I look my own self, when I look my people, when I go to my street in Cleveland, in Chicago, in Lorraine, when I see people hunger for the Word of God, but we are afraid to talk to them. We are trembling when we have to be with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Inner city, Galilee. And that is where merchants live, where the poor people try to make living, struggle to make living, where the prostitution is opened, crime and delinquency, where the high percentage. It was great border, Galilee region between Greeks and Jews, people of all nations stop on the way to Egypt. And that Galilee, I want to transfer that Galilee to my own town, where prostitution, where the almighty dollar God is rule our life, where people have no time for hear the good news. This is inner city, this is metro, where everybody run away. And it's hard. These are the characteristics of Galilee, which are reflecting our city people today. Different language, culture, race, color, and a social cultural mixer. We have adapted ourselves to others. Let me tell you a little bit. I am a Chilean, but not anymore. I am almost 13 years I come out from my country. And I marry a Puerto Rican woman, Puerto Rican girl, and we have our children, which is born in the United States, mother from Puerto Rico, father from Chile, 13,000 miles away, and they are coming here in America. They are born here, and they are mestizo. I would like to know what is mestizo mean. You know that? Mestizo? Mix. Mix. They lose his identity. They are not Chilean. They are not Puerto Rican. They are American. But all the heritage, all the culture is not with them. They try to fit here in our society. This is why when the pastor talked to before and about the Indians is dressing as a Cheyenne, and for us it's different. I put all my gowns, all my dresser in Chile, and I dress in like American, you see? And I try to confuse these people. I am belong to you. I can talk to you. Don't reject me because I come in close to you. That is the union. That is the mestizo. That is we try to put together people without the barrier of race, custom. But it's hard. It's hard because our language. I am very good until I have to speak. When I talk, they know I am no belong to here. But anyway, look at what happened with Jesus Christ. As Jesus began his ministries, he working with the people of different race and culture. As for my own ministry, was the same. Jesus was referring to us as a Galilean, even though he was a Jew. He was rejected by the Gentile and the Jews. Nobody recognized him. Inner city. The Spanish, we are able to identify with Jesus in the human struggle for life and acceptance. In the constant experience of human distance, ridiculous, began Spanish and living in this country. First thing, we are different. We have different music. We have different food. We have different language. We have different custom. But only one God. And we are happy to have this God. The intercity concept is totally different than we know in USA. I come from Valencia, Chile. Over there is centralized. If you want to be in Peru, in Bolivia, Argentina, or in Santiago, you don't want to go to the suburb where is no water. In the suburb where the poor people have no transportation. In the suburb where is no merchants. It's almost nothing. Rural. Far away. What is your intention if you live in your country like that? You come to the capital. Inner city. This is my place, where I can walk and just walk distance to shopping, to go to the supermarket, to anywhere. This is why you see Salvadorian people. You know where they are majority right now, Salvadorian? In Washington, D.C. Look for the inner city. Look for the capital of the United States. There we will make it there. We don't want to go to the suburb. This is why they are coming to Ohio or Illinois, great capital over there. You don't send me to the suburb. I come from the suburb. I need to be in inner city. I believe that if the 20 countries speak Spanish, have the same mentality. This is why, you see, why these people is coming to the metro, to the inner city, for that reason. It's a reason because we come in for the land of opportunity. You don't lock me out of the opportunity to go and grow. What happened right now in well, this doesn't work anyway. Yes? Well, we will find different ethnic groups, Spanish, black, and others, okay? Suburbs, far away of the city, because the communication is so easy. People in the inner city, we have here a church, let's say a Slovak congregation, for 120 or 200 years are in that city, and now he has 12 Slovak worship in that congregation. But they don't want to give up. They want to continue. And what when they come out of the church, what they see Spanish, black, Asian, other ministry, other people, they are ready to work, ready to need the word of God. And this the church is dying. What happened? What are we doing wrong? Remember, these people and second generation or third generation of this congregation already flee out to the suburbs, far away. They have no place here in the city. We take over. And they are, what I said, far away. But this beautiful cathedral, 200 years ago, was full, but now it's dying. What we need, very simple, we need your help, we need your effort, we need especially you, brother, in the seminars, to go back to this congregation, the whole congregation, when they call you, and in this moment you have to tell them, let this church be our mission. Maybe many of this congregation is coming from this church. Let this church be our mission, and all these churches, what we have around, they are supporting that ministry. They are supporting that the new approaching in inner city. Castle of our God. That is the Lutheran Church. Almighty Castle or Almighty Fortress. Yeah? Let's open the door of that fortress. Let's open the door now for that people outside. Don't die with the door closed. People need the God. People need Jesus Christ. And we have everything. This is what is my experience about this Slovak congregation. They have all his heart in the building, but they are died by the language. They are died, they cannot continue. And finally, the Spanish growing, we renting to them for 7 years. We growing incredible. And we ask it to them, will you sell in your church to us? What the answer was, no, we have 12 here. When we are gone, that is the time for you. Maybe 10 more years, maybe 3, 4. What happened with the congregation is growing. They have to move. Where we move? We are all here, around 7 miles away. We moved in the empty spot in the inner city. and we build in our own. That is another win for the Lord and our own facility. But this is what we have so far in the inner city, because it's different. It's different than your concept of suburb, of inner city. This is why I encourage you, seminar teacher and ministers, locate your city first, see what kind of the people you are close and what kind of the people you serve. What is the need of the ministry in the inner city? My question to you is, how many in this symposium have had experience and relationship with the people of different cultures? Could you raise a hand? Good. It's almost a half. But I would like to everybody experience that excitement, that beautiful opportunity. You don't have to stay. Just experience. Open your mind and heart and door. Remember, we are different. We don't have the ownership in church. When we go into the, we coming with the Roman Catholic. When we go into the Roman Catholic, yes, we going to worship. Nothing else. It is why we going to stay enough time to running out, to go out. We don't want to talk anything else. It's no fellowship. It's just worship. Alone. And this is where we coming out empty. It's because we don't build our anxiety with the Lord. We don't praise God. We just to come in to hear and to forgive our sin. But this is why I tell you, any group, we are left everything in our own country. In China as well, in Philippines, anywhere, we left there. And we are coming empty. We need ownership. We need something belong to us. This is not my country. I come here to just make dollars. And soon I make enough dollar, I go back where my heart is. That is a myth. That is not true. Because we come in the United States to make dollar, but we didn't think we have to spend the same dollars. This is why we stay here, trapped in America. Land of opportunity, but not for dreams. And our dreams is finished when we have the opportunity to make our house or our land our house. That is the moment when the church stand up. When Jesus Christ is coming to my side, or is coming to me, when I want to be in this land. You know, listen how I feel. When I come to United States, I feel lonely. I cannot speak the language. And I am afraid they kick me out. I am not welcome here. Even though in my green card, they call, they put there resident alien. When I read that, I feel a close encounter. Look like I am from other planet. It is why they put resident alien. And that is true. I am not belong to here. But as I am citizen of the world, where Jesus Christ put me over there, I proclaim him. And that is what has convinced myself I am in the right place. We are different. We are different, but we need the Lord. And you have the key, brothers. Remember, this book is here, is called The Future is Mestizo. Yeah? It's a nice book because it's talked about the time will be coming when we have to be together. You have to relate with me as well I relate with you in one family. Right now the culture is clashed. The culture is divide us. The Hispanic in that side put the other people in the black in the other side. But maybe in 10 more years or 20 more years, by the way our life is going, maybe you, as American, you have two or three sons and daughters. One of them will be married to Asian people. Maybe one of them will be married to Hispanic. And you will see, now your culture is not pure anymore. Now you are not white alone. Your thought is start to change by this culture, by these people. Our future is mestizo. I want to remind you that the daughter-in-law of President Bush is Mexican. Okay? President Bush have a mestizo grandchild or grandchildren. What happened with the white is it's a start to have color now. No? Remember, even if you go to the suburb and stay with your family there, what happened with the school? The segregation school system. Get your kids together, and finally, Spanish eyes capture blondie. Finally, the future is mestizo. This is a new reality in our society. We have to accept. We have to work together. We know, in my passport, I am alien. But I try to be like you. I work hard. And I hope some of my children go to university. I push hard. Maybe my boy meet your daughter someday. And remember, they have one God, is Jesus Christ. Many people outside searching for the Lord. And we just stop because they are other race, language. This is why I want to tell you, we have in United States 3 generations already, or more, but this is the first 3 generations is counted in our Spanish community. The future is mestizo. We have a 3rd generation. The 3rd generation is immigrant from Spain. It's Spanish speaking only. That is the people is coming right now from Puerto Rico, from Salvador, from Chile, from Guatemala. They are coming, and the first thing they go to inner city. Okay, they need help, but they speak Spanish only. Okay, now the 2nd generation is born in the United States. But the father and the mother and the grandmother, everybody is Spanish. This is why this generation speaks both languages, Spanish and English. They speak both languages and they can manage me in both, no, quite good. Yeah. And they create by the way to speak, by the way to communicate, they create another language, which we call Spanglish. Have you heard that before? And Spanglish is Spanish and English together. Like, let's see, Spanglish, which is That is something in English will be quick or give up. In English. And in Español is terminar. And if somebody from the first generation listen, quitar, he don't know es terminar. And from the third generation, pure English, he don't know is give up. It's like a put two a language together and accommodate the way they use it. And this is continuum, parquear, estacionar en español, and park in English. Lanchear, lunch, and almorzar. It starts to create another accommodation language in order to communicate. Let me tell you the story what happened, and I really feel funny in that. When we have a member of our congregation, the consular member of the congregation, we have 12 people to write direct the church, and they are third generation, second generation, and they are coming third generation. And they try to communicate just in English because they have the grandmother Spanish, but they cannot speak Spanish or understand Spanish. And anyway, they are the counselor of the board, and they start to sessions. And after an hour, they switch English and Spanish in order to everybody understand. And the secretary is pure Spanish. She cannot speak English. And she said to me, when they switch to English, it looked like somebody turned the light off on me. That is mean I can't understand what they start to say. And the same way on the other hand, when they switch to Spanish, the third generation doesn't understand either. What happened? We are in the barrier of communication, but everybody is happy. Even we have to communicate hard, we have to really try to do the best we can. But I want to tell you, is one God, is one love. This is why mission is not when the people, is alien people, is coming to your church and sitting beside of you. It's more than that, my brother. It's teaching. It's education. Mission is money. Mission is patience. Mission is love. Mission is not just open the door for the strange people coming. He's put everything together. In that moment, mission starts to grow or start to exist. As if we want to accept or not, but the change is here. My Spanish is coming very bad. And my English is worse. Maybe I want to start a new language, Spanish. But I have some advice to it for you. I don't have the solution of this problem. You can use in the tool, like Jesus Christ said, love one another. First, accept and love people that are different than you. My advice is preaching and teaching an open door to a new and excited ministry. When you are in the Spanish ministry or any other ethnic group ministry, you never have a dull day. You have excited every day. Everybody, even you are all congregation, start to involve with them, because we cannot be independent. We cannot be alone. We have to involve you. If you are part of my congregation, you have a position right away before you step in my congregation. That is mean. We need you. We need your help. we cannot do alone. And you know the law leading us to the gospel. And I remember what we need is partnership, church, no paternalism. That is a big difference. Because I see some church want to make a mission and put all his efforts in one mission. And they said, that is my mission, growing or not. And the other sister church or partner church doesn't involve in this. That is no good. That is no right. It's because sooner than later, this church will be burned out. We need you, future pastors and Pastor Reynal, mission executive, try to plant, try to put in action the partner church, especially in your circuit. Let these people in the circuit, the 7 or 10 congregation, have the same idea. Working among the black ministry in the inner city, work among the Spanish ministry in the inner city, and you will see everybody have an ownership there, and these people, the inner city, start to work together. And it doesn't feel we have many bosses. It's not right. It's just we see we are not alone. Remember, we come in from our country lonely and alone. Don't turn your back on us, because we will continue in this country be alone. We need your help. We need your love. Don't try to slavery us. Try to help it. Try to be when we need. Participate with us. Don't feel ridiculous when we invite you to our dinner, Spanish dinner, or for our worship. Don't try to force in us to adore with you the way you want it. Let's go close to the Lord. If we want to clap our hand for the Lord, let us clap with us. Rejoin in the spirit of the Lord, because we feel free. We feel with you in one family. Let me tell you what happened in Ascension Day last year. They invite to our choir to go in Ascension service where all the circuits are together. And I am part of the circuit too. Now I feel very strong, very happy. And they invite me for the liturgy. You will do the Kyrie and Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Okay, I said, but remember, we don't go with the organ, we go with the guitar, tambourine, maracas. How you like that? Well, you are part of our circuit. Do it. And over 400 people was meeting in that day, and I said, well, we will stay in the back, and when the time is coming, we just enter, okay, with the music. And all of a sudden, I was vest with my other colleagues, other pastors, and I feel very happy in front of them. I look at my people, and they look at me and said, they are confident too. And when the time is coming, the beautiful John Sebastian Bach music stopped, and our guitar music started. We don't do anything in this order. We do everything in the same mood, but different tune. That people, when we are finished to singing the Glory in Excelsis, you know, many of them, they can't resist it to applause. And we are in service. They like something different. Maybe they don't want to adore with us every day, or every Sunday, but they like something different. And this is a beautiful experience. His experience we are telling to everybody. We are together in Jesus Christ. Another thing I want to tell you about the Metro Ministry, not among the Hispanic alone, but with the Black Ministry and with the other ethnic group. But if something else is coming out, I remember when I see all the plans before to building that church, okay, Labor for Christ coming, and the plans and code I have to study in order to be acquainted what is going on. And it's a special section where they put handicap. And handicap is taking a lot of our work and money. Because now any church has to open the door and facility for that kind of people. They are not secluded or hiding in the room anymore. They have a special buses by the public transportation. We have to open doors, special running for them. And what we have, finally our Lord blessing us to have a community, is Lutheran Employment Awareness Program. That is mean seeking job for the handicapper. And they are meeting in our facility 5 days a week. And I never see how many people from our community, Black, Spanish, other nationality, and American, are together. Around 24 is coming with the wheelchair, and they preparing interviews with the bosses is coming from the different industries around. And that is another mission, another ministry, exciting ministry. Everything needs work, but exciting one. I would like to finish almost, and I am open for questions. But it's something we will do. Something our Lord is commanding us in that part. Jesus proclaimed the dream in St. John 17:21. What he said, we want to all be one, unite, all be one, as well my Father, I am, I one. We are one. He died for that dream. Simón Bolívar had a dream of unite America without national borders. That will be South, Central, and North America, one country. And it's still a great dream. Maybe never will be do it. And Martin Luther King had a dream whose realization has been need to be complete. Lutheran Church Missouri Synod started a great effort in the mission blueprint for the 90s. It's up to you to put in action. We are on the way that Almighty God unite family on the planet Earth. In Jesus Christ, thank you once again to share with you this opportunity of Metro Ministry. Thank you. We have time for any question, I believe.
We would ask that you use the mics when you present your questions. So we have one plenary session out of five.
Okay, you have. Yes? Come in close, please.
My name is Sylvester, and I found out that we have a common friend. But he didn't tell me all the story, and I want to know more. In 1962, Levon Spath, from the United Lutheran Church, was in our home here in St. Louis, making plans for the Spanish hymnal. And he told me how he heard the Lutheran Hour I don't know when or where or how. And then he went to a German Lutheran church. He couldn't understand anything. Then he went to Edmonton. What's he doing up there? And then in down there. When was it that you heard the Lutheran Hour? When did you go to the Lutheran church, the German church? And when did Levon Spath see you? Tell me, please.
Well, that is history is a little longer, but make you short, is what happened in my country. I remember in a Easter Sunday when one program in a radio program is coming, Dr. Hoffman, but they send this tape to Caracas, Venezuela. They translate to Spanish and put in different countries in South America. That was my first time I hear a beautiful message. Jesus Christ is no anymore in the cross. For us as a Roman Catholic, basic, okay, that was empire. That was different. That what we need. Jesus Christ is not in the cross. He is alive. He is with you in your heart by the Spirit of the Lord. And when I hear that, my brother, I look for the Lutheran Hour Church, which is not that kind of church there. But I end in almost 2 hours away of my house in train. I end in another in a suburb, close to the suburb, in Santiago. And over there is a Kirchen Lutheran in that city. Yes. Anyway, I don't remember anymore. The only thing, I went there and sitting in the back of the pew, if something is happening, I the first one ran out. But nothing has happened. I couldn't understand what they talking about, what they said, because it's everything in German. But for me, it's the same, because if I go into the Roman Catholic, everything was in Latin. But I sitting in the back and stay with them. At the end of the service, what is attractive to me, and even to my family, I went with my father and my mother because it's something new, is the warm people. They are open his arm. They are, the first time, they are embrace me. And that is something different. When we are finished in our Roman Catholic Church, everybody go like a chickens outside. I don't want to talk again to them. Only I tell you what the culture is, how you can capture people, especially when we feel alone and lonely. Embrace and shaking hand and even talk to or listen to me is something important. I am not a number. I am a person in that moment. And about the hymn book you are talking about, it's in Ohio. Okay, and we are preparing the first part of the hymn book. The old hymn book was sending to Santiago. Is because we need that hymn book. We don't have. And thank God we will have another hymn is coming soon. Thank you to the Lutheran Women Missionary League, and they have provided a great part of this fund for the new book. And the old book, how many years is the old book, Pastor Glinky? Between 20 and 30 years, that is the old hymn book. What we need is the new revival. In the spirit of the praise to Lord, praise to God.
Yes, Reverend Rojas, in your congregation, do you serve a variety of Hispanic peoples? And if so, what difficulties has that presented for you going across cultures, being a Chilean?
Well, is what I said, I am no Chilean anymore. It's because it's no good to be a Chilean without nobody to talk to about my country. That I am changed, not my feeling, but I am changed my almost behave. I am a Puerto Rican because we are with the Puerto Rican population. If I will be transferred to Mexican, I will be convert myself as quick as possible in Mexican or Cuban. I need to go across with them. They need to understand me. Now I can understand the same jokes they do, and it's a pleasure. It's no tension. I don't need to go over or there reveal my status, who I am or where I come from, because even my people doesn't care. They don't know where Chile is, no. And I am almost 13 years here in 13 years here in America. What is the use to say I am a Chilean? I am with them. I like to be with them. Now I learn a lot. Beautiful food, good food, and a nice way to live.
Yes, part of my question was answered already, because you anticipated. The second thing that I would like to know is, what is the racial makeup of the city of Lorain? And is the church located in a Hispanic neighborhood, or is it, what type of neighborhood is it located in? I have another follow-up.
Yeah, okay. The same inner city. People coming for work first. People coming to United States with $1 mind to work in, make dollars, and go back to my country where my grandmother is still alive. I want to go back where my friend is, my language, my food. But this is a myth. They are coming to work, they're working, they're earning some dollars, but they have to spend it. And this is the cycle is coming. This is why when these people is coming, we have to approach it to them, because we know for fact they have in mind to go back to Puerto Rico, but they trapped. And we have to go because they sooner or later, more sooner than later, they feel lonely. In that moment, we present in the Word of God. In that moment, we said, well, you have a friend here. I have a place for you. Come in close to me. Let's walk in together. Let's do in together something. And the idea is go out very fending very well, and they continue. Many people, this is why second generation, already in Spanish generation, they have his own house, cars, and even some of them, they are pushing for a boat. No? This is why they are, it's different. We have to understand, this is why the beginning of this speech with you is, you have to find what society you will be serving. If you're serving a second generation where it is established in the city, that is different people. These people is supporting your church either. But when you see immigrant people just coming with the barrier of language and status and even work, you cannot do anything than help them. In the future, the children of them will be part of your congregation and supporting your congregation. But don't expect it right away from immigrant people is coming with a lot of problem to support in your church. They are coming to, you can help.
Yes, thank you. So I understand that the population of Lorain is completely Puerto Rican?
We have a Puerto Rican, Mexican, a lot of Mexicans, and now Salvadorian people start to come. Why is this Lorain or Cleveland is so attractive for them? We have a U.S. Steel, where is 12,000 workers there. This is where it's open all the time when the people, it's hard to get in, but a lot of good benefit and all this stuff they need. Okay, this is where they are coming from. We have a Ford Motor, we have in the area of Lorain 3 plants, and General Motor 1 plant, and we have a large industry. This is where they are coming, and they want to stay because the salary is better.
Okay, thank you. And my last question is, you mentioned partnership church.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite clear on your description of the partnership church type situation.
Okay, is the partnership church is when the circuit of church, 3, 4, 5 churches, have the same idea and see the same need of mission in the inner city. That is mean they are put together them money, efforts, prayer, and they make that mission belong to them. It's not just sending money to South Africa or West Africa or China or even Russia for Bible. It's not just sending money and forget what is a mission. Mission is to participate. Mission is continuing, go close with these people in the beginning until they are growing. It's like a little tree, a little plant. In the beginning you have to giving. No water and care. But very soon will be blooming, and fruit will be coming from them. This is why I believe more in partner church than paternalist, than only one church make all the effort, and finally that effort will become entire and nothing that will be done. Another church is just sending the money to the district. But remember, the district have many missions around. It's a good place to put, but never will be in your area where you live your mission.
Just to share a blessing along that way, when I was called in July, the congregation didn't know if they would exist in a year. And through the Holy Spirit, we have 10 congregations that have pledged support for 1 year. And the people are asking us, now what about next year? What I see as my challenge now is to build on that and involve them in other ways and have kind of a two-way road on that. So that's a real blessing, and the Lord had paved the way for that. The question I had was in terms of ministering to blacks and Hispanics in the same area, and are there any tips along that way as how to go about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing, you have to make a decision, or working with black ministry or working with Hispanic. You said in the same area is both. You see both. But they are different, and they are apart. They don't want to go across together. It's very hard. And first, because the language. The American black, they can speak with you and sitting with you. The Spanish, they want to have his own pastor. No? Or somebody, right, or somebody to speak his language. This is why the language is the first difference, the first separation. But you have to make your mind and about what mission you want to start. If you start just for 1 year, my brother, you have to go over a little better. In 1 year you cannot do unless a survey who are the people live there. You have to make a plan with this congregation, with these 10 congregations they are willing to make missions. You have to make a plan at least 10 years mission. And you will see in these 10 years how you are developing this mission. Maybe among the black ministry will be quick and easy, and or among the Hispanic. All up to the congregation. You have to discuss that. Is answer? Okay. Yes. Right. We have this, Lakewood is suburb. Lakewood is not inner city, okay? And we have big churches in Lakewood, and American. Now, it's all up to them to reach your Arab people, because it's another opportunity. And that is good, and it's important for them to have the same message. We need a person like you. We need a pastor, because over there is 160 congregations in Ohio, but it's most all concentrate in that area of Cleveland, between Cleveland and Toledo. And this is why in Lakewood we need a pastor like you, and this congregation is doing the same. in for this community for Arabic, okay, they doing maybe a mission circuit, and you will working with them. This is why I am very happy to have you here, because we know we have a population of there waiting for somebody. And the problem is, who else speak Arabic here? Okay, this is your position, brother. I will send in a call very soon.
More questions? Again, I want to thank you very much.
Thank
and
you,
the books you have commended to us, we will include on the recommended bibliography and include in the literature which you receive as part of follow-up.
You have a question?
Virgil Elizondo. Virgil.
Yeah.
V-I-R-G-I-L. Elizondo. A-E-L-I-Z-O-N-D-O. The future is mestizo. The future is mestizo. Well, thank you very much. Thank you.